The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live. Whether you are listening in Columbus, Ohio, Tampa, Florida, or Washington, D.C., we're talking about the NFL. A number of key NFL players have already said when the national anthem is played, they will not stand, they will kneel in protest. Does that bother you? Does that trouble you? The NFL has also announced, although I don't think the decision has been carved into stone, that at least in the first NFL game they will play the Star Spangled Banner and what is normally called the Black National Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing. My question, is that going to bring unity or division? Now, I'm going to go to the phones, and Julio in Maryland, you're up next, so hang tight. But I just want to say this. If I have time later on, I'll go into more detail. When you hear that the national anthem is racist, it's because of the third verse that no one ever sings anymore because we're not quite sure what Francis Scott Key meant. But there is a reference to slaves in the third verse. Most historians that I have read believe that he is talking about the slaves that were fighting for the British Army. So they were the enemy. They were fighting against America, the colonies and so forth. And so they were part of the enemy. But anyway, maybe we'll have more time to get into it. But don't just take for granted what the revisionists are saying. And there's a reason why most people have no idea that verse even exists, because it has not been sung for years because of not only the controversy, but the confusion. Nobody is absolutely certain what Francis Scott Key meant, and so it's not sung ever anymore. And I think that's important to remember. All right, we're going to go to Maryland and talk to Julio. Julio, I am honored that you called today. You're on Bob Burney Live. Welcome.
Yes, hi. How are you?
I am well and blessed, Julio. Thank you for asking. What's on your mind?
So am I. Listen, I arrived here at the United States 46 years ago, and I really was impressed when I first came. This was such an order. Everybody abide by the traffic laws. Everybody was showing respect. Everybody was waiting in line to get to the cashier and this and that. But now we are at a situation where everybody wants their way. Mm-hmm. And this is endless. The more we get, the more we will keep asking.
Yeah.
And so now we want to have the, what was it? Can you repeat for me, please? What was the national anthem, right? The one that
lift,
I know of.
Lift Every Voice and Sing, which is known as the Black National Anthem. It was declared that many years ago by the NAACP. And where did you come from, Julio?
I'm from El Salvador, Central America.
Okay, sure.
And I see a problem with this. Because now it's going to be as Hispanics that we will try to have our anthem also included in it. And then the other nationalities that are being blessed to be here in America. Mm-hmm. And you're never going to be able to please everybody. And we just want to rewrite you know, the values of America, and we want to actually we're headed to anarchy. And it doesn't matter what is given to us, we never will be pleased.
Yeah. Well, Julio, thank you for your perspective. It certainly is a perspective that I can't bring to the table. I was born and raised here. So I appreciate it, I honor it, and I thank you, Julio. Thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me take part in the conversation.
My pleasure. Interesting. Julio said, well, would there be a Hispanic national anthem? I think that's an honest question. All right, again, back to Maryland, and Troy is on the line. Hey, Troy, welcome. Thank you for calling.
Hi, how you doing?
I am well.
Okay, so interesting show today, and I was almost looking forward to something like this, just for the conversation's sake and so forth. And yeah, I'm a Redskins fan, but not really calling in about that. I hope they keep the name. You taught me something new I didn't know today. But the main reason I'm chiming in is just because of the national anthem. I happen to sing that, and I'm saying it to a couple of different minor stadiums and so forth.
Have you
so
really?
I actually know. Yes. So.
How wonderful.
So I know that. Go ahead.
No, I think that's wonderful. I have a dear friend who used to sing the national anthem for the Angels, the Los Angeles Angels, and the Dodgers out in California. That's quite an honor to do that. So, again, thank you for doing that.
Amen. So it's my pleasure. So I've kind of studied this and so forth. And just as a comment on the third verse, I think that's just a neutral statement that's made. It wasn't intended as a racial statement at all. And it's basically backing up the history of what was going on at that particular time. And it doesn't say anything bad. It just says that no refuge can save the hireling and slave, because it's just talking about what was going on at that particular battle even. I mean, there was even one particular black slave that actually enlisted for the American side, and he was actually and they didn't know it at the time, but he joined, volunteered, and he was killed during that battle right there at Fort McHenry. So, you know, this comes down to not only revisionist history, but you got special interest groups and so forth, and I don't think that they should be allowed, and, you know, and hopefully there's going to be a big backlash on this, whatever, but at stadiums, by people to use their special interest, you know, platforms to try to use that as a reason for taking the knee, you know, at stadiums, which was only designed as taking the knee is when somebody was injured on the field.
Right.
So, and is what I understand from the first guy that actually did it, he wasn't really, you know, it was just something he wanted to do. He wasn't even really that committed to what his cause was the first time this got done. Now it's kind of like spread by like wildfire. But anyway, so you've got all these people that, you know, that are trying to not only revise history, but they're trying to make it their special interest, you know, and to change things that away. And, you know, history is history. And Francis Scott Key, who wrote that song, was an honorable man. I mean, he went into court to defend either enslaved blacks or free blacks on it, you know, on his own time, his own money that he paid for it because they couldn't report for themselves. So this was an honorable man. And he actually, even though he had slaves, he released them all in 1870. And he was actually trying to help. And he formed an organization, but it kind of fell apart over the years. And that part I don't know. But to try to make it so everybody could be released at some point, and, you know, and a provision made for that. But you'd have to study that. I won't go into that. But, you know, this man was an honorable man. So, and so was the song. So for this, for somebody to just change this and try to destroy this or say we need to replace it, that's wrong. The national anthem is the national anthem. There is no other anthem. And, you know, it was signed in by Congress and so forth, so it is our national anthem. So my opinion is against anybody having another one to go with that.
All right, Troy, thanks. I appreciate it. You keep on singing, all right?
I plan to. Thank you.
All right, God bless you. Thanks so much for calling. I'm coming up on a break here in about 30 seconds. When we come back, I'm going to go to CJ in Columbus. But I need to take maybe just 2 minutes when we come back and to read to you that third verse that's controversial, that is never used anymore, not just because it's controversial, but it's confusing. But if we put it into context, it's difficult to interpret it as racist. Tell you what I mean when we come back. 877-BOB-LIVE is my number.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Okay, I'm going to go back to the phones. CJ in Columbus, I'm going to get to you in just a moment, but I absolutely have to deal with this thing about whether the Star Spangled Banner is racist. It's the third verse that Francis Scott Key wrote. Most of you know that it began as a poem, The Defense of Fort McHenry. It was after he witnessed the failure of the British assault on the Fort McHenry, which guarded Baltimore, during the War of 1812. Francis Scott Key is talking about this one battle, and in the third verse, he is dealing with the enemy, the British, and he says this. This is the third verse. And where is that band? He's talking about the enemy, the British. And where is that band who so vauntingly swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country, should leave us no more? Their blood has washed out their foul footsteps' pollution. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. Now, here is the fact. The British Army had American slaves who joined that army and fought against America. Francis Scott Key is talking in the third verse about the enemy in general, and then he says even the hireling and the slave was not safe from the American troops. I think most reasonable people who know the context would not interpret that as being racist. He's simply talking about the enemy, who included hirelings and slaves. All right, I'll leave it at that. Let's go to CJ in Columbus. CJ, thank you for being so patient. You're up next on Bob Burney Live. Welcome, and thank you for calling.
Well, welcome indeed, and I thank you, Bob. And the caller you had just before the break, that was absolutely outstanding. That man knows history. And I'll tell you, to be very honest, I'm not sure this afternoon if I am more grieved or if I am more annoyed. My mother, before she passed away, she would often say to me, I grew up during Jim Crow. She says, I remember when my father or my brothers had to step off of a sidewalk if a white person was coming, or we had to look down and couldn't look somebody in the face. And yet, you would not know of anybody that was more proud of her country than that woman. So let me just say this, because I know you've got other callers. I think it is absolutely hypocritical that NFL players making millions of American dollars are talking about they are not proud of their country and that they are planning to kneel during the national anthem. So I would have a suggestion. Perhaps they'd like to resign from the NFL and stop earning all those filthy American dollars, or maybe they'd like to use some of their millions of dollars toward helping the grieving families of some of these children that have just been murdered in Chicago and in other cities, not by policemen, but by drug dealers and other black people. I am not saying that there is never a person who happens to be white, who is a police person, who is a police man or woman, who has taken the life of a black person. Statistically, that is minuscule. The number is minuscule, and this denigrating of our police officers, it is shameful. And NFL players making all those millions of American dollars, they need to find a more constructive way to express their frustrations.
Let me ask you a really, really quick question, CJ, and really quick, because I do want to get to another caller.
Sure.
I was told by someone through Facebook today that just the phrase black-on-black crime is offensive to black Americans. What say
you? What are they proposing that someone would say?
I forgot. It was a long, involved statement that we should use instead of saying black-on-black because that's offensive.
Yes. What would they propose be said? What would they propose?
I'd have to look it back up again. But it was strange. But you don't find that offensive. That's just a statement of fact.
What I find a whole lot more offensive, Bob, is all of this. And I'm trying to be kind here. What I find a whole offensive is supposed concern about Black Lives Matter. While black people are being killed in the streets, and nobody gives a rip about those children that were murdered. Nobody is trying to get any money to them. The Black Lives Matter organization doing zero in terms of the millions of little black babies that are being murdered in the womb. I think it's a whole lot of hypocrisy. That is what offends me.
All right. CJ, thanks. I always appreciate your call. God bless you. Thank you.
I appreciate you. God bless you, too.
All right. We're going to go to Washington, D.C., and we've got Renee on the line. Renee, thank you for your patience and holding. You're on the air.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my call. I just think that I'm a black woman in D.C., and I don't watch football, but I think that there shouldn't be two songs, because just like the other caller had said, it's just going to keep trickling down to something horrible, like the Spanish. They're going to need it, and it's just going to be something really ugly in the end. And I just think that it needs to stay. I read the Star Spangled Banner, and I don't feel that it is racist. I feel that the person who wrote it, we need to look at the character of that person, of the writer, and if we look at the character of the writer who wrote it, then I think that, you know, we should really look at that. And the second thing I wanted to make as a black woman, with the Black Lives Matter, to topple on top of the other caller from a black woman, I too feel, you know, if Black Lives Matter, I really think that black people, we should start making a statement within ourselves and stop killing our own. I'm going to say black-on-black crime because black-on-blacks do kill with the gangs and stuff. And I understand social and economics, but my thing is, if we're going, and I do agree with, you know, Black Lives Matter, and I am aware that black people get treated worse than the police, but we need to start with our own selves and stop killing ourselves first, I believe.
Well, bless your heart, Renee. I am so grateful for your call. And for your stand, I appreciate it. And your attitude will bring healing and restoration racially. And that's the attitude that we who follow Christ must possess and demonstrate. I'm honored that you called, Renee. God bless you. Thank you. Got to go, but thanks for the call. And I appreciate all of you listening. And I'm sorry I couldn't get to all of your phone calls. Let's do it again tomorrow. Have a wonderful evening, but please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.